Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are at the second Sunday of Advent in this season of preparation, this season in which we are called to prepare room in our hearts for Jesus. And one of the ways that we are doing that is by preparing room in our homes for our Christmas celebrations. So imagine that most of us have put up our tree and have trimmed it with lights and ornaments. We've hung our stockings. We're either baking or we're starting to think about baking. We're sending out Christmas cards. We're buying and wrapping gifts. We are preparing for Christmas, which I was surprised to look at the calendar and see is just 2 weeks from tomorrow. This shortened Advent is really messing with my brain. But 2 weeks from right now, we will be worshiping together on Christmas Eve morning. It really never ceases to amaze me how quickly Advent goes by each year. And so here we are in the midst of a busy Advent when John the Baptizer comes onto the scene. You may recall that every second Sunday of Advent, we read about John the Baptist. But I've always wondered, why Advent? Right? We remember that John leapt for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb when he heard pregnant Mary's voice. But why is this story about John the Baptist that takes place before Jesus begins his public ministry at 30 years old in the lectionary on the second Sunday of Advent? Right, don't you think that this passage would be better placed in Lent? This call of John to repentance seems a little bit more like a Lenten text than an Advent text. I mean, think about it. You've got the manger scene with the peaceful angel and the gentle shepherds and the stoic wise men, hopeful parents. Let's face it, John just doesn't fit in with the rest of these folks. The author of Mark makes sure that we know that he dresses differently than others and he eats differently. And let's be honest, our human tendency is to not like it when others are different from us. Ultimately, what John does in the midst of our Advent preparations is he disrupts us. Instead of approaching the manger quietly, solemnly, and seriously, John is over on the fringes of this scene, crying out to all who will listen to prepare the way of the Lord. Instead of being seen and not heard, he interrupts the silent night and all the festivities. And instead of adding to the warm fuzziness of this season, John instead calls us to repent. But I think if we'll take just a moment, maybe we'll realize that John has something important to offer. God has something to teach us in John and his words. All we need to do is to listen and to learn. Because John is not a distraction from our Christmas preparations and celebrations. In fact, he calls us to some of the most significant preparation that we are called to do. And he reminds us that God comes to us in ways we might not otherwise expect, in ways that we might otherwise miss. Because rarely, if ever, does God come to us in the ways that we expect. Our God, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, was born humbly into a poor family not into a royal family, and not in a castle where he would have been placed in an elaborate crib or cradle. Instead, he was born to this poor family in a stable, which was much more like a very dirty barn, and he was placed in a feeding trough. Let's face it, Jesus coming to us doesn't just turn the world upside down. His coming turns our expectations upside down. When we want Jesus to tell us that blessed are the powerful, and blessed are the rich, and blessed are the strong, and blessed are those who have it all together, he instead teaches us that in his kingdom, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. He tells us that in his kingdom, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Think about the story when people were bringing their infants and children to Jesus. The disciples thought that they were a distraction and they were upset and told Jesus to send the children away. But Jesus said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to children that the kingdom of God belongs." And he goes on even further, saying, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Jesus' coming turns the world upside down, and in doing so, he turns our expectations upside down. Because sometimes we don't want little children around, because they, like John the Baptizer, are different. And truly, children are different. They are in much different developmental stages than adults are. But because we don't always understand these different developmental stages, we sometimes insist that adults, or that children, should be mini adults. And we think that, especially at church, children should be seen and not heard. And this absolutely breaks my heart. I have told parents since I've been here, "I want you to bring your children. Let them make noise and let them play, because I'd much rather have children be noisy and play during worship than to not have children here at all." Before I go any further, I want to tell all of you grown-ups that I'm sorry that you probably weren't allowed to be children in worship either. You were probably asked to sit perfectly still when your little bodies weren't able to, when your little bodies had energy and wiggles, and you were probably shushed over and over because your parents wanted you to be quiet for a whole hour long, when that's impossible for children. Because children process so much, and so often they do it verbally. And so for those of you that were not allowed to be children in worship, I'm sorry, because it shouldn't have been that way. But now we know different, and we know better, and so we're doing better. We have a much different understanding of the way that children develop mentally and physically and spiritually. And we know, and there are many studies that show us, that the more active children are in worship, the more they pick up on, the more they understand, and the more likely they are to stay active in the church. And this is what we all want, right? We all want children to continue to be active in the church as they grow. I'm reading a book right now called Incorporating Children in the Church, A Mark of the Kingdom of God. And I want to read to you a quote that the authors offer. God gifts the church with children. We teach them, and they teach us. And they even save us. Because without them, we risk the possibility of becoming rigid and overly bound. But with them, we risk the possibility of being challenged and transformed. And perhaps if we give them more than just a moment, we will find the kingdom of heaven anew. When children are active in worship with us at Holly Grove, I get glimpses of what God is doing in God's kingdom, and glimpses of what will one day be when God's kingdom is fully consummated. God uses children to teach us, to challenge us, and to transform us. And why wouldn't God use children? God came to us as a child, right? A little child shall lead them. And Jesus declared that it is to children that the kingdom belongs. And so I want to share with you a few ways that I see the kingdom of God being realized in our church through children. And one of them I just heard about this morning. Brantley, who is 8 years old and has the superpower of autism, loves coming to church. His mom told me that he woke up at 5 o'clock this morning so excited to come to church that he kept asking over and over if it was time to go to church because he wants to see Pastor Anna and he wants to help with communion. Every Sunday, Brantley comes eagerly to worship because he knows that he is safe here and he knows that he is welcomed and he knows that he is loved. And he learned all about communion on VBS, at VBS. And since then, communion has taken up such a special part of his heart that he wants to help serve the bread every Sunday. And for a little boy with few words, he says to every single person, "The body of Christ for you." Except if you listen closely, the "you" goes up. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. Brantley reminds us, Brantley teaches us that the body and blood of Christ is for you and for you and for you and for you. Brantley reminds us that we are to come eagerly to worship and we are to come eagerly to Christ's table to receive the goodness and the grace of God. Because I believe that when Brantley takes that bread and he takes that wine, he tastes and sees that the Lord is good. I asked April if she and Brantley would light the candle next Sunday, the pink candle, and when she was telling Brantley about it, he got so excited that he said, "I'm going to be like Pastor Anna. I'm going to be Brantley Anna." If only adults were as excited to come to worship as Brantley. If adults were only as excited and as eager to serve the church and to serve in worship as Brantley. If only adults were as eager to come to the table and taste and see that the Lord is good as Brantley is. Maybe the kingdom of God would be a little bit more realized in our presence. You see, oftentimes in the church, we can miss the unexpected ways that God speaks to us and teaches us and challenges us through children. Because yes, they are different than adults. Yes, with children, things are louder, and they're a little more chaotic, they're less perfect, they're less serious. But God doesn't call us, not even in worship, to perfection. God calls us to faithfulness. And God uses children, these unexpected vessels, to teach us about faith and hope and love. These precious gifts of children in our midst are the gifts that God uses to remind us of the joy that God gives, of the trust that we are to have in God, and the eagerness that we are to have in coming to worship, in serving, and in coming to the table. Brothers and sisters, as we continue to prepare room in our hearts for Jesus, may we also prepare by listening to these unexpected little messengers in our midst. And maybe we can become a little more like them. May we, the body of Christ, allow these little gifts and messengers to teach us, to challenge us, and to transform us. Because it is to children that the kingdom of God belongs. Amen.